He's not redundant. He's never been out of work. God is always on the job. Praise God. And he only does wondrous things. That's what the Bible says. He only does wondrous things. So we thank God for that lovely testimony, Irene. Will you keep David Chaudhry in your prayers? I had a phone call from Shashila on Friday. David's had to come back from Denmark, and she's had to come back from India to look after him. He's got a trapped nerve, and he's horizontal with his feet on a chair and in terrific pain. So would you keep David Chaudhry in your prayers, please? Also, Alf Kendrick, who is going for investigations. It doesn't look good. He's lost a lot of weight, and he's going for tests and investigations to do with some nodules that they found on his throat. So do pray that God will undertake for those two brothers. And we've been asked also to pray for a man called Peter who has swine flu, and he's a relative of John Atkinson, and John's asked us if we would pray for him. So, Father, we bring these men to you, aware that you know every one of them. You know their situations, and we pray in the name of Jesus that as we've mentioned them before you today, church, just lift your voice right now. God, in the name of Jesus, minister to them right now as we call upon you on their behalf. We are not doing something, oh God, that is of empty value and empty worth or vain tradition. We believe in a God who answers prayer. So will you answer these prayers right now for these three men, for David, Alf, and for Peter, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. Kath's become a grandma. Stand up, Kath. We want to give you a big, big... Hey! Congratulations, Kath, on becoming a grandma. It's great being grandparents. Wonderful. You can give them back. You know, wonderful. Tonight at Redcar and Stockton, the services tonight are at the Claxton Hotel in Redcar and Stockton at the Elmtree Community Centre at 6:30. Thank you for your support. Thank you for rallying round and really making a difference in those two areas. Tomorrow evening there's prayer for Israel at Barbara and Ken's house at 7:30, and there's also a Redcar church officers meeting here at 7:30 tomorrow evening. The life groups are again taking place this week. There's a group somewhere to where you live, and so do get connected to the body of Christ in midweek. If we can help you get connected, tell you where to go to. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Tell you which group to go to. We'll get you fixed into a life group, and you will be blessed, and you will be a blessing to those who you rub shoulders with during the week. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, there's a deacon's meeting here at the church, a deacon's meeting on Thursday night. And on Friday evening at 7 o'clock, there's a church officers meeting for the Billingham church officers. So it's all meetings this week. Every night, there's something on for some of us. So do get involved midweek and take notice of those meetings that are coming up. Next Sunday, thank God, we're back at the college. The heating problems have been sorted. I had a call on Friday to say that they'd been out on Thursday. The theatre was lovely and warm, and so we pray it will be so when we get there next Sunday. Praise the Lord. Thank you, folks, for standing and believing God that we are going to see that auditorium filled. And last week we had a tremendous vision offering last week. So thank you for standing with us, and to God be the glory. Being given an invitation card this week, use it. You know, folks are not going to come if we don't invite them. So keep inviting people along. People who you think would never ever want to come, invite them. And let's see this year. Remember what one of our goals were at the beginning of the year? If every one of us won someone for Jesus this year, well, we'd be doubled, wouldn't we? Amen? That's without those who God will send in that's got nothing to do with us. But we can be a part in seeing the church, the kingdom of God, growing. The other departments in the church, Friendship Hour meeting tomorrow, the youth Wednesday and Friday, they're all back to normal now and up and running. Daycare running every day, centre open every day. So we're back to where we were prior to Christmas, and it's great to be back. Amen. So the Lord be praised. We're looking forward to hear the word of God this morning. Steve's going to bring us the word of God. Open your heart, open your life to God, and God will speak to us this morning. Thanks, Steve.
You can open your Bibles to chapter 12. Is it chapter 12? Oh, 10. All right. Got to change my message now. Chapter 10 of Joshua. I want you to sort of humour me this morning. I want you to pretend, right, you're in an army. Not a spiritual army, but a normal army, okay? And you've been called to be on parade. Okay? You and me. Right. Can you stand to your feet if you're able to? And to stand attention, please. No, look. Some people are slouching. Is that a standing attention? You're in the army, the Queen's army. Get that chest stuck out. Where's your tie? Get a tie. That's good. You're my favourite. Oh, yes, very good. Well presented. Sunder best. You've got blessed this morning. Look at this. Brother, come on. You're in the Lord's army. Yeah, amen. Yes, very good. At ease. You can relax. At ease. That's good. Well, we are in that army, aren't we, friends? You know, we're in the Lord's army when that roll call, you know, early in the morning starts. I wonder how many of us get up. I wonder how many of us are ready for the day. You can sit down, sorry. But I wonder how many are ready for the battle. Joshua 10. Most of Joshua up to chapter 10 is all about claiming the land. It's all about winning the battles and being victorious. And this morning I want to speak on having a conquering lifestyle. Having a conquering lifestyle. I'm not going to read the chapter, we really haven't time, but I'm going to give you just an overview of this chapter, chapter 10. Of Joshua. Next week, the message will be just bringing everything that we've looked at together and to see some of the main points that we've been learning about. This chapter starts with the defeat of the five kings of the Amorites who assembled together against Israel. The Word of God says that they heard that Israel had conquered Ai. They heard that Israel had conquered Jericho. And in verse 2 it says, and they feared greatly because, as we heard last week, Gibeon was a great city, one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Fear was in the camp of the Amorites. So they all clubbed together, they all joined together, and out of fear, they came against Israel. They feared greatly, the word of God says. Joshua, in verse 8, was told by God, when they came against him, that the victory was theirs, because he had delivered them into his hands. We note that the victory had an element of the miraculous. God rained hailstones from heaven. And the Bible there says, and slew more than with the sword. So through the hailstone coming down from heaven, more were slain than with the sword. That was God's intervention. That was the miraculous element in that victory. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, and it was about a whole day. That doesn't happen, does it? The sun stood still. So they gained all that time to take revenge. Israel took revenge on their enemies. Israel won a great victory over the Amorites and captured the five kings. I think they fled and they hid in a cave in Makeda, is it? Is that how you spell it, pronounce that? The five kings were released. And Joshua showed the army of Israel and gave them a taste of what was to come. Verse 9 to 11 is all about the sun and the moon. And verse 24 to 26, we find that he asks the captains of the army of Israel to come out, and the five kings, he asked them to put their feet on the neck, on the necks of the kings. And we're going to look at that shortly. The victory followed that, the mighty victories over six cities, Makeda, Libna, Lachish, Eglon, Hebron, and Debir. Debir? Sounds French, doesn't it? But it sounds like that. So a conquering lifestyle. You know, Paul encourages Timothy to wage a good warfare. That word wage simply means engage. Engage in a good warfare. Having faith and a good conscience. And according to the prophecies which were given by the laying on of the hands of the eldership. In the New Testament, Paul and all the believers realized that they were in a conflict. And I hope you realize that this morning, friends, that you are in a battle. You're in conflict. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it. If you are serving God, you're in a battle. The battle, we normally sing, is the Lord's. But we've got a part to play. And the battle that we engage in is, I believe, in two directions. The inner battle and the outer battle in every believer's life. The inner battle, we'll look at that for a little while, and the outer battle. And there are certain domains of war. A domain, dictionary tells me, a domain is an area under a person's control or a field of activity. And the domain, the inner domain, ought to be under control in our lives. These two domains are our battlefield, our warfare. These two domains. The internal fight, friends. It's an internal fight that we have. My biggest enemy is myself. Your biggest enemy is yourself. Because it's you that causes you to fail. Nobody else. I don't even think you can blame Satan. The devil, you can't really blame him. Because my Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. So we really can't put the blame so much on the devil. We know that he has sown death and destruction. We know that. But when we look at our internal fight, these are the aspects and the inner conflict that we have with our soul life and with our flesh life. I have them. You have them. And as I walk with God, I believe they're getting less and less. Right? If they're not, there's something wrong. I believe the more mature, the more we live for Christ, the less we stumble at those things of our soul life and our flesh life. Areas, for example, our physical appetites, our will. When we submit our will to God, when we say, God, you know, I come before you. You must increase, I must decrease. Our thinking, getting our thoughts pure before the Lord. And not watching things that we shouldn't be watching. And over this series, these things have come to the surface in the preaching of God's word many times. And I want us just to read a little bit out of that scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll look at verse 24. Paul talks about running a race. He talks about shadow boxing to show us how serious he was about obtaining the prize. Talks about the discipline of his body and bringing it into subjection. Failure to do so could mean disqualification in the race. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That means they're disciplined. In all things. We know what an athlete has to go through. Well, we don't really know, but we have an idea. Tremendous discipline to achieve the prize. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. And he says, thus I fight. I fight. Not as one who beats the air. Not shadow boxing. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's the flesh, isn't it, friends? As you know, it's nothing new. It's the flesh against the spirit. We all have a spiritual element to us. We all have a flesh element. And there's a battle going on. There's a warfare. And it doesn't go away when you get older, friends. It's still there. You still battle with things. That is the internal fight that we face. And the outer domain, the external, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Principalities and powers, well, what are they? Well, I believe they are beings, friends. We call them demons. We call evil spirits. We call, you know, rulers in heavenly places. But what do they do? It's not as much important as who they are. It's more important to know what they do and how they come against us, you see. The principalities and powers use people. They use circumstances and they use situations that come to us every day of our lives. You know, even natural things they will use to bring you down, to get you down. Your car breaks down. You have a flat tire. You have a horrible day at work, you know. People are on at you. The boss is nagging at you. You know, all these things can happen to everybody. But they happen to you as well. And it's how we react to those things. It's very different from what Joshua had to deal with. Sometimes I think it was easier for them. At least you could see the enemy and put a sword in them. It was a lot easier. But we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's what's behind that person who is angry and mad at you and wants to thump you or wants to hurt you. What's behind it? I want to say that it's probably demon activity. Because they are out of control. And when someone is out of control, it opens a door for principalities and powers to take effect. I want to say that we must win the internal battle and get the victory over self and the flesh before we can ever think of winning an external battle. The victories that you have and I have, internal victories, right, are so important to the victories that we, not just us individually, but we as a church, we as the body of Christ can have. Because the more victories, internal victories that you have, the church gets stronger. The church is stronger. And it becomes a holy temple of God. It becomes a holy army, a holy body. It becomes something that God wants to use and put his spirit upon. Because God is more interested in our spiritual life, friends, than our abilities. He's more interested in you and your relationship with him than what you can do for him in the body of Christ. He wants you. He said to David, he said, give me your heart. Give me your heart. The first thing that we have to love God with is our heart. Love him with all our hearts. Although they are closely knit together or linked together, the inner, the internal and the external. What I mean by the external is that, you know, we come against them in prayer. We do spiritual warfare. We pray against opposition. We pray against oppression. We pray against that as a body, as a church. And what is in the heavenlies over Billingham, Redcar, and Stockton can be defeated, not in a tangible physical way, but in a praying spiritual intimacy with God. And that's the only way we're going to defeat. That's the only way we're going to grow. That's the only way we're going to have the victory and have a victorious lifestyle, friends. You know, Joshua is a kind of, is like our Jesus. He is, you know, our Jesus has shown us potential victories. I want us to turn to that chapter 10 in Joshua. And in verse 24. And I love this part. I wish I was there. So it was when they brought out the kings to Joshua, they got them out of the cave. Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of war, and the men of war who went with him, they were fighting with him. Here they were back at Gilgal, and these five kings probably said, lie on the floor there, lie on the floor. Five kings, lie on the floor. I thought about doing this as an illustration, but health and safety wouldn't sort of allow me in case something happened. Got carried away. And he says, come here. And he got his captains out. You see, what Joshua was doing, he was sharing something very significant. He was sharing vision. He was sharing what he knew to have himself in God. He was passing it on. And that's what leadership is all about, friends. It's passing on something. You don't have to be a leader of the church to be a leader. Every one of us are leaders. In some sense, you can pass something on. Mothers show their children how to do things. Employers show things to employees. It's passing on. This is how, Sean will say it, this is how you take a shot to Bethany, all right? To Bethany. This is how you take a shot. You hold the cue like this on the pool table. You're leading, aren't you? You're leading by example, and you're showing. And it doesn't matter how little it is, it's leadership. That's what leadership's all about. And that's what discipleship's all about. And there's not one Christian in here cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You could be a disciple of Jesus Christ, yeah, but you could be a discipler of Jesus Christ. In other words, you could pass on what you know to somebody else in the faith. And that's what it's all about, friends, in the body. It's discipleship. It's being discipled. And you become, because you have been discipled, you become a discipler. Hallelujah. And so there they go. They come out and they put their feet. If George was a captain, boy, oh boy, George, if you were a captain, I wouldn't like to be that king. The size of his feet. Right? It must, you know, put it on. I'm dying to get somebody out here just to make them. You wouldn't mind, would you? Yeah, you got to go back. But the point is, friends, he says, come near. Put your feet on the necks of these kings. Hallelujah. Ooh, I wish I was there. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. They weren't asked twice. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, but be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do for you to all the enemies against whom you fight. Now that's I believe that was prophetic for them. Because later on you find the great victories over those six cities, those six, you know, strongholds. And that's what God did. But they had to see it. And that was a visual aid of how they were to overcome the enemy. I think that put confidence in them. I thought that would have put confidence in them. Confidence to realize that whatever army they face, whatever foe they face, victory was evident with their God. Now we have things that come against us, friends. Not flesh and blood. But if we could, we'd like to put our feet on the neck of some of the principalities and powers. Some of the demonic forces that make or break and crush people today. You see the suffering in our land, or any land, you see the suffering. Friends, it's not the government. I want to say it's the demonic forces in our land, a land that's turned its back on God, that righteous does not exalt our nation at all, and a church has to get the vision, get that concept that we are more than conquerors, that we don't have to be, overcome by our internal things. We're that much bothered with the internal, is that we are not prepared and not fit and not ready to do battle outside of this box. And that's what this place is. It's a box. You live in a box. Lots of people live in boxes. And it's secure in a box, isn't it? A man's castle. Our house is his castle. His home is his castle. And a castle is a fortified building. I won't go down that road. But God promises victory. God was promising Joshua and his captains victory. Let's just quickly turn to 1 John. Right at the back of the Bible. You'll have to forgive me because I've started some antibiotics. And they make your mouth very dry. Absolute dry up all the time. All right, praise you, Lord. So, let's look at chapter 5. We're talking about the victory. In verse 4, it says, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Are you born of God? Well, you're an overcomer. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe in Jesus this morning, there is nothing that can come against you in this world that you cannot overcome. Because your faith is sufficient that you have received from Christ. Your faith, yes, the same faith that you received Jesus with, overcomes the world. We need to believe that God, has had the victory. I want us to read from Romans 16. Let's read that scripture, verse 20. And it says, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Paul was talking to Christians here. He was talking to the local church. Those who live the church life. Do you live the church life? The church life isn't just coming on a Sunday. We live the church life. The church life is the ecclesia of God. The called out ones. The ones that are separate from the world. That we don't want to have any part in this world. This world is foreign. This world is totally opposite to what you should be. We are children of God. And we live kingdom life. We live church life. Paul is talking about a body matter here. And I believe it's when we do a practical expression. Right? From the body. And that's when Satan is crushed. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And he's talking to the church. He's talking to a corporate body of Christ. Praise God. Satan can be crushed under our feet. The meaning of the word crush simply means to trample on, to break into pieces, to shatter, to bruise, to grind down, and to smash. Quite destructive, isn't it? All those words. That's what we are able to do through God's power, God's strength. We're able to do that, friends. We're able to overcome. In the seven churches, you will find those words, and he that overcometh will receive such and such. It's only the overcomers that will receive from God. It will, friends. It's only the overcomers. It's not how you start the race, it's how you finish it. And friends, we can't make any excuses. I can't. God has given everything I need to live a godly life. In the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can defeat us unless I allow it. Unless you allow it. Unless you just let the enemy walk all over you. In verse 14 of that chapter in John, 1 John 5, in verse 14 and 15, it says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked him." That's the confidence. That's the confidence that we have. What do we want as a church? Well, we've just got to ask him and have the confidence in him that he will provide. Our victory is also a continuation of Christ's victory. It's a continuation. When Jesus bruised Satan's head, bruised the serpent's head at Calvary, it started a tremendous victory. And it's continued, and it's for us to enjoy. We can enter into that victory. It is our present victories, as well as the ultimate victory, when Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. We know that in the second coming of Christ, Satan's kingdom will be destroyed. Well, praise the Lord. We can have present victories. We don't have to wait till the second coming of Christ before we crush Satan's head. And it's talking about the head of principalities and powers, his kingdom. Authority, in other words. Head always speaks of authority. Christ is the head of the church. He is all authority. And praise God that we have this promise. God's promise that he will crush Satan under our feet. Do you believe it, friends? Do you believe it, really? Satan, you are defeated. The things that hinder your spiritual growth, they are defeated, friends. If you will enter in to this spiritual warfare that can be internal and external. But thanks be to God. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Israel, in Joshua 10, Israel couldn't win the battles that they fought. They could not win them without the presence and the power of God. They could not win it. And it's the same with us. We will never be victorious without the power of the Holy Spirit. Without God's presence, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we might as well pack up and go home. If we want to see miracles and signs and wonders, then it's in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot win the internal battles if we don't tap into the Spirit. If we don't tap into the Holy Spirit, we're going to be defeated every time. What is it that defeats us, friends? What is it that stops us from seeking the Lord, to getting up on a morning? You know, what is it that stops us witnessing for Christ? What is it that keeps us back? Pride, fear? There's lots of things. And we can only defeat that by moving ahead in confidence in God's power. You know the battles that you have. You know that you and I myself believe God's word. We know we can defeat the enemy. We know we can have victory. We can have a lifestyle of victory. And I believe we have it and I'm going to close with these things. I believe that we can have it, first of all, through prayer and intercession. Intimacy with God. Intimacy with God. How many minutes do we pray each day? How many minutes do we commune with the Lord each day? We say we don't have time. We don't have time. I think we do, friends. You know, the telly takes a lot of my time up, and I believe the TV can take a lot of our time up. And other things as well. And if we had that urgency to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now's the time, seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, it's time to seek the Lord. The second thing is the Word of God. We can overcome and we can be established through the Word of God. We heard that a few weeks back, didn't we? By faith as well. Obedience of the Word. You know, sometimes we just read the Word, but we don't obey it. By faith, we are led by the Spirit, and we walk, friends, in the Spirit. Romans 8 encourages us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill. Galatians also encourages us, Galatians 5, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walking is our conduct. That's what walk. It's our conduct. It's the way we act. It's the way we behave. It's our lifestyle. And by faith, we can live by faith like that. I believe it's a key process in order for victory to come, is walking in the Spirit. Walking in the love of God. Walk in the Spirit. You know, I'll bring this to a close. When we look at Joshua chapter 10 there, I'm just going to flick over to the next chapter. And in 23, verse 23, it says, so Joshua took the whole land. He took it all. He took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses. Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land rested from war. These great warriors, the army of God there, was able to rest because they defeated all the tribes that came against them. Praise the Lord. That's not our case, friends. We know the Bible says there is a rest for the people of God. But there is no rest from war. With us, friends, it's for life. You're in this army for life. Until you go to be with God or Christ comes again, we are to fight the good fight of faith. It says, lay hold on eternal life. You know, lay hold of it. Don't let it go. Just have a firm hold of your destiny, which is eternal life. Eternal life means that I'm never going to die. Praise the Lord. This body will die, but perhaps. But we're going to live on forever. Amen. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. And friends, it is a battle until we die. Go to be with the Lord. We had to fight the fight. The good fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. Not flesh and blood, but it's fighting and it's conquering. Conquering. What do we want to conquer? We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to kill people. But we want to buy back. We want to redeem. We want to restore what the enemy has done. We want our families to be one for Jesus, don't we? We want our workmates. We want our neighbors. We want people to know the fullness of Christ, that abundant life. How are we going to do it? Yeah, it's a few things, isn't it? Prayer alone won't do that. Don't believe that. Prayer with witnessing will do it. Prayer with proclaiming the good news. Declaring to people the way of salvation. If we do one and not the other, then we will see very little growth. Unless we have a sovereign move of God. and you know, then God's just totally, you know, in control, and people get saved, and there's a wonderful revival. Yeah. But if we're just looking for that, if we look for that, we're missing what God wants us to do now. God's last words, Jesus' last words, were go into all the world, preach the gospel. Make disciples of all nations. He didn't say go and pray for a revival. He didn't say that. He didn't say go and pray for a revival. He says go into the world and preach the gospel. That's what he said. And he also told his disciples to tarry, to wait for God's power to come on you before you do that. Before you do that, get God's power, because you won't be very successful if you don't. So it's quite simple, isn't it? They that know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. Exploits. Your neighbor is an exploit for you and me. The person you work with is an exploit. Be strong. Stand up for God. Stand up for God in college, in school, in where you are. Stand up for Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't cowl. Don't run away when the subject is mentioned about religion and church. You stand for Jesus. Be strong and of a good courage. Praise God. Father, we thank you for what the scriptures reveal to us, Lord. We thank you for this chapter, Lord, that has been such a blessing to myself. And just pray, Lord, that the battles that we have, we pray, Lord, that we will, Lord Jesus, be more than conquerors through him who has loved us. Lord, we are conquerors. We are